the oceans he made were no larger than a tear. The sound of his voice made dry land appear. He sculpted the mountains with such great skill. It became a fountain for the thirsty and dry. As he cried, it is finished. Oh, heaven stood still when he made Calvary. But my sins he erased. He prayed, forgive them. While his blood spilled, God signed my pardon on Calvary's
Buddy, when he made Calvary, it was more than just a hill, I'm telling you. Can you imagine what the Lord thought when he made Mount Calvary, knowing that 4,000 years after that, his son was going to die on that hill? Jesus right there too. He said, you know, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the Lord did all that when he made Mount Calvary, knowing he was going to die there one day. Amen. All right, here's what I'm going to do this morning. Take your Bible. And I want you to open up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to show you a great, great verse of scripture here this morning that we all need to look at, Proverbs chapter 18. And I hope you're not too warm. Everybody all right? Proverbs chapter number 14 this morning. And we'll look here just a minute this morning. Please don't miss tonight's service. Come praying. It's very important that you be here. Proverbs chapter 14, and the verse I want you to look at is verse 14. I think it's 14:14. You see that this morning? And it said, it used the word that you hear a lot of people talk about. This word is backslider. It said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now, I want to preach on that this morning. The backslider in heart. That a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I'm going to preach about the backslider this morning. This is the 48th day of this year. There's 317 left. Whatever you're going to do, you better get on the ball and start doing it. I've known people for years and years. Every time you see them, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get right. This morning, I'm talking to people who have been saved. If you've been saved, but got out of the will of God, you are a, what we call, backslider. Now, that's a Bible word, and it's easy to understand. It's like you're climbing up a hill. You ever tried to climb up a hill in snow and ice, and you get up so far and grab a hold of a tree, a stump, or a root or something, and you slide back down. And here you are right where you started. And you'll try to, like kids trying to go up a sliding board. It's slick, and you get up so far and slide back down. I've seen them kids go up there and try their best. Get up so far, fall, slide back down. Get up so far, fall, slide back down. Get up so far, fall. And that reminds me of a lot of Christians. We do real good for a while. We'll get up there with the Lord, and I'm really going to serve God, and I'm really going to do right. Bam! Fall on your face and slide back down. You do real good for a while. Go to church. Somebody told me the other day, I was trying to get them to come to church, and they said, I have a habit of going to church. I'll do real good. I'll go 4 or 5 Sundays in a row, and then I just quit. That's what's called, you're getting up a little bit and falling, go back down. Getting up a little bit, falling, and go back down. So this morning, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. A backslider is like a stranded ship. That ship they had on the news the other day, on that cruise where them people got stuck out there hundreds of miles out in the ocean and nothing, you know, it's awful. I'd hate been on that thing. I mean, it was rough. About 4 days, 5 days out there, and there's water and sewage running in the bottom of the boat. That was their cruise. That was their vacation. And they got out there, and it was a miserable. That's what it's like. That's what a backslider is like. The backslider is like a stranded ship. Backslider is like one of them eagles you see at Dollywood where they're in there and they're about that high and their wings broke and they can't fly. That's a pitiful picture. You ever seen them think? An eagle that can't fly with wing broke like that. That's a picture of a backslider. Somebody that's really, really been saved but has not and not right with God and living for the Lord. Backslider is like a harp that the strings are broke. It's like a garden that's all run over with weeds and stuff like that. A backslider is somebody who used to serve God, who used to go to Sunday school, who used to sing in the choir, who used to read the Bible, who used to do right, and now they're out there all messed up and partying and living for the devil. You know what? The Bible said the backslider will be filled with his own ways. All right, tonight, this morning, you listen carefully. First thing I want to talk about is the cause of backsliding. How does a person get backslid? I mean, how do you go from singing in the choir and paying your tithes and praying every day to being drunk in a bar somewhere? How does that happen? I tell you one thing, it don't happen overnight. It's a process. You go little by little by little. You just start getting more and further away from God. What causes a person to backslide? You forget what God's done for you. You forget what God's done for you. I think a lot of times we need to be reminded of what the Lord's done for us. Do you realize this morning that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross like she was singing about? And they beat Him and mocked Him and nailed Him to the cross. And do you realize when He died on that cross, He was paying the price for me so I wouldn't have to burn in hell? Do you realize that this morning? Buddy, the cause of backsliding is we forget what God done for us.
Some of us need to remember where we were when God found us. Some of us need to remember where we were when the Lord saved our soul. Some of you was on drugs. Some of you was on alcohol. Some of you was on your way to hell at 90 miles an hour in car wrecks, motorcycle accidents, fights and gangs, all kinds of sin and all kinds of wickedness. And the Lord reached down and saved you and changed your life, wrote your name in the book of life, give you a hope for heaven, put you a mansion up there. The Lord give you all of that. You forget about that when you get backslid. We need to remember where God brought us from. We need to remember what the Lord done for us. I never forget what the Lord done for me. You know what causes people to backslide? You forget what God has done for you. And then, you know, false gods, the fashion of this world, the pride of life. You know what makes people backslide? They see something. And they see something, they say, oh my goodness, they didn't have that when I was out sinning. So I'm going to go out and try that. And it looks real good. And the devil comes out with something that looks real good. And the devil says, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try that? Or the devil will show you something better than what you've got. Or he'll show you some life or some person or some lifestyle that you don't have. That's what causes people to backslide. Let me tell you something, people, this morning, they ain't nothing no better than what Jesus put in your soul. Nothing no better. There's nothing no better than what the Lord done for you when He saved you. The false gods, the pride of this of life, the facade that the world puts on. You see, you're driving down the road and you see this big old sign like a billboard, and it's got this sign here, and here's a guy, you know, and he's sitting there and he's got his arm around a pretty girl and he's drinking a Budweiser and he's got a Corvette and all that, and the devil says, see, if you drink that beer and if you live like that, you'll have a Corvette and a pretty girl. I got news for you, buddy. You drink that beer long enough, you ain't gonna have no Corvette or no pretty girl. Yeah, amen. Amen. You'd be lucky, you'd have to pay somebody to go out with you. Yeah. If you keep drinking that stuff. It'll turn you into, I've seen them guys that drink it for a while. I mean, their neck about the color of my shirt, and their eyes about the color of my shirt in broad daylight, and they're miserable. The devil will paint you a pretty picture. He'll put you a pretty picture up there, but he won't never show you the backside. And the backslider don't see that. The backslider. Remember when you couldn't wait to go to church? Think about it now. You remember there was a time in your life when you looked forward to Sunday morning and Sunday night and youth rally. You thought, it's youth rally. I can't wait. I can't wait. Now you're, oh God, is that coming again? See the difference? Something happened in your heart. We talk about the character of a backslider. The character of a backslider. You know what? You know how you know when you're backsliding? The first way you know you're backsliding is you start to begin to shirk your responsibilities. You start wanting to pull back and become less involved in church instead of more involved. And if somebody says something to you, you always know when somebody's backslide because you say, "Look, man, where you been? I've been a little bit worried about you." The first thing they say is, "I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm all right. Don't waste your time praying for me. I don't need it. Pray for all these other people." Listen, brother, you get that attitude. They get this attitude of, I'm all right. The first thing the backslider thinks is, I'm okay. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. Don't get all tore up, preacher. I'm fine. I'm all right. That's the first sign of a backslider. You know what? If you're really right with God and somebody says, I've been burdened for you, you know what you'll say? You'll say, glory to God, thank you. I need all the prayers I can get. Man, I'm fighting the devil every day. Ain't that right? That's the way you'll talk if you're living right. A person who says, oh man, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. There's something wrong there somewhere. You ain't fine. Ain't none of us fine. We all need all the help we can get from the Lord. Amen. The Bible says they begin to get satisfied with themselves. That's a sure sign. Making excuses. And if you quote them a Bible verse, they'll say, why do you have to bring the Bible into everything? How many of you ever heard talk? Somebody heard that? They said, do you have to quote script? Yeah, we do. You know what? You know what I tell people? I get on people's nerves because I tell them the Lord's the answer to everything. Amen. And you know why? Because I believe that. I believe the Lord's answer to everything. I believe, brother, if you got an ingrown toenail, somehow or another, Jesus is the answer to what your problem is. You believe that? I do. I do. You say, how could Jesus be the answer to an ingrown toenail? He'll help you to understand you're going to get a new toe by and by that will never hurt again. That's right. It'll help you to have the right attitude while your toe's hurting. I ain't never had one, but my mom used to have them all the time, and they looked horrible. But I'm going to tell you, listen, I believe if you don't know the recipe to pineapple upside down cake, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer, and if you'll pray a new God will lead you and tell you what to do. You mark it down. These people's always saying, look, the Bible's okay for church, but it don't apply to this situation. That's crazy. It applies to every situation. Every situation. It applies to school. It applies to education. It applies to history. It applies to everything. This book right here, it applies to math. That's the best math book, history book, science book in the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, when you start saying that we don't need the Bible, or the Bible's, you know, religion's all right in its place. You start talking junk like that, you know your heart has gotten cold away from God. You see, here's the way it goes. With any other form of transportation besides an airplane, you can go backwards. Horse and buggy, if you're driving a horse and buggy, you can stop. You can even pull it back and go backwards a little bit. If you're driving a car, you can stop. And you can even go backwards. If you're in a boat, you can stop. You can even go backwards in most boats. If you're on a tricycle, brother, you can stop. Motorcycle. But if you're in an airplane and you're going up there and you're 600 miles an hour and you're 30,000 feet up, you can't stop. Airplanes can't stop. If you stop, you what? Drop. The only thing an airplane can do is keep going. Airplanes don't go backwards. They don't just stop and rest. It's sail on. And the Christian life is the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. There's no place to stop. When a Christian stops, they drop. I've heard people, listen, I've been doing this since I was 22 years old, people. I've been preaching since I was 19. And when I was 19, when I was 19, I looked like I was about 12. And I remember people laughed at me and said, he can't be a preacher. Look at him. I had people tell me that when I was 30. You ain't no preacher. You ain't fat and don't drink coffee. And I said, well, I am one. I ain't much of one, but I am one. And I've had people tell me that. I've been doing this a long time. And I'm telling you, when people stop, they drop. When a person says, I'm just going to back off, I'm not going to speak to anybody, I'm just going to sit in the back and not shake hands, I'm just going to... I'll tell you what your problem is. You're getting backslid. You're backslid on God. The characteristics of a backslider is a stop. They want to stop teaching Sunday school. Stop driving that bus. Stop singing in the choir. Stop. It's all... When you stop, you drop. There ain't but one way to go forward. Amen. You know another sign of a backslider? When you start finding fault with everybody. A sure sign you're backslid is when you start saying, well, I don't like this, and 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 I don't like that. Somebody that's right with God is so busy doing something for God, they ain't got time to pick out the faults of everybody else in the church.
Amen.
Listen, did you know fault finding is one of the easiest things in the world? Everybody say, well, I don't like something about you, Brother Danny. Well, I don't like something about y'all either. I bet I can find more wrong with you than you can me. Or at least even... Amen. It might be a big contest, you know. I mean, we can all find fault with each other, people. It's easy to sit and judge people and say, well, I don't like this, and I don't give me that, and I don't like that. But every time you've got that finger pointed at somebody else, you got three of them pointing right back at you. And you better take a good long look in the mirror before a sure sign a person's backslid is they start finding fault with everything else. Listen, we ain't perfect. I'm not perfect. But I tell you what we've got. We've got a perfect God. We've got a perfect Bible. We've got a perfect heaven to go to. We've got something to look forward to. We ought to keep our eyes on the prize and not get backslid on the Lord. All God's people said? That's right. That's right. You always wind up worse off, crying, defeated, messed up, bad. Let me say thirdly this morning, the curse of backsliding.
You know what old Billy Sunday said? He said, I'd rather be 100 feet away from hell, headed away from it, than 1,000 miles away from heaven, headed away from it. And I'd rather be 100 feet away from hell, headed out of it, than I had to be 1,000 miles from hell, headed toward it. I may be little, I may be low, but I'm headed the right way. That's what he was saying. The curse of backsliding. Do you realize what a curse on our society that backsliders have caused? Do you realize the world out there this morning, they're looking for an excuse not to serve God, and a backslid Christian is the excuse they're looking for. Lord, I'm a preacher. I hear it all the time. I mean, don't you hear it all the time? Why don't you go to church? I ain't going down there to that church. I know how them people are down. And they'll point out one old person. It's like you ever been to a restaurant? Have you ever been to a restaurant and I won't name no names. We have one not too far from here. We was at a restaurant one day. I want to go there today and the girls don't want to. And we was eating Chinese food. I don't know what it was. You don't ever know what some of that stuff is on that buffet. Still alive. Yeah. And we was in there, and one of them said, Daddy, look. And I looked down on the floor, and there was a mouse trap and a little mouse dead in it. Right underneath our table. Right underneath our table. I will not say which one it was. Might get sued. But anyway, it was right underneath the table. And I looked, and I said, it ain't bothering me. I ain't bothering it. Just eat. And they went, let's go, Dad. I said, no, it ain't in our food. I said, all restaurants got rats. Mom told me anywhere there's food, there will eventually be rats. I don't care if it's even big fancy places, they got them. They got them. If you've seen how them people prepare your food, you'd probably throw up. They probably marry them when they'd lose a football game. The kids that work at McDonald's, they spit on them hamburgers and served it to that other team. So you better make sure if you go to McDonald's, you ain't got somebody in there that don't like you. You do that?
No, I have seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've been.
I just don't think awful of you, Peanut.
No.
Anyway, we looked down and there was that little mouse in that trap. I said, it's all right. Lady's dead. It ain't going to hurt. It ain't my. I was eating with somebody one time and we were sitting in a booth and they said, Danny, look, Danny. And there was a roach crawling behind my head up here on the buffet. And I just go, as long as it ain't my food, I don't care. I can handle it if it ain't my food. I mean, if I can find a hair in my food, brother, I'll just pull it out. I mean, floss your teeth with it when you get done. I don't care. As long as I don't have to eat with it. As long as I don't have to eat it, I don't care. Okay. No, I wouldn't do that. But I know a girl got an egg roll and she ate half that egg roll and there was a roach inside that egg roll. Right, it's true. If it's a hyper roach now, I'd gag. But what am I saying? Have you ever been to a church and boy, the choir get up and sing and everything and they think, and you look up and there's a roach. That old boy, he cusses. He tells dirty jokes. He's a lot, and you thought, church ain't coming back here. See, a church is like a restaurant. When people come in here, they eat. When they see a backslider, it leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. A backslider does damage to society. A backslider, when a Christian falls and gets and just quits serving God, the elder is like, see there, I knew it wasn't real, I knew it was a fake, look at him, he claims to be a Christian, and that's their excuse they use. Now the truth is they don't have no excuse. The truth is there is no excuse. The truth is if every preacher in Morganton got drunk last night, it ain't no excuse for you not to do right. It ain't no excuse for me, but people use that for an excuse. And the backslider is the excuse they're looking for. Not only does it hurt society, it hurts the Savior. It hurts the Savior. I believe it grieves the Lord when He looks down week after week after week when one of His children won't do right. I believe it grieves the heart. Just like your kids, you got kids,
What if your kid rebels and just goes completely opposite? My three sitting over there this morning, they've never done it. No, they have too. There's been times when I'd say do something, they'd do the exact opposite. Now, luckily, they've never really broke my heart too bad. But they've definitely rebelled. And it hurts a parent when their kids don't do right. And you can't tell me that it don't grieve the Lord that died for you if you're not living for Him this morning and you're a Christian. I'm talking to you people that are saved as Billy Graham, but you will not do right. You won't do right. You're making excuses. You blame your mom and daddy. You blame your circumstances. You got divorced. You got put in jail. You got sick. You got something wrong with you. There ain't no excuse not for you to do right. Listen, I've been through the ringer, people. Y'all know me. I've been through some hard times, rough times, and there is no excuse for me not to serve God and do right, and there ain't no excuse for you not to. The curse of backsliding. I know a man. I told this guy. I told him over and over and over again that he's going to ruin his life. He got saved when he was about 18. And this boy, he loved to smoke pot. That was his God. I mean, that's all he wanted to do, smoke pot. He'd take any other kind of drug and drink too, but pot was his drug of choice, I guess you could say. I mean, he loved it. And he'd come to the altar and just bawl his eyes out and cry for a little while. And then he'd go right back out and smoke pot and get drunk. And then he'd call me and say, Danny, I'm sorry, I need to get right with the Lord. And I'd say, well, man, just ask the Lord to forgive you. And he'd do real good 4 or 5 months. Come to church, not miss a service. And then he'd go right back out, get all messed up again. And I felt sorry for him. You know, there's a lot of people. There's people in this room right here this morning that have a problem. I mean, I ain't stupid. You're one of these legal drug addicts where you take all kinds of medicine just because it ain't illegal, you think it's all right. And you just do it to get high off of. You're a legal drug addict. And I'm telling you, this guy, he got on that stuff worse and worse and worse, all kinds of pills. And I kept telling him. I said, you're going to mess around with that stuff? You're going to keep messing around with it. If a person's really saved, if you're really saved, God in heaven, your Father, will smack you. He'll whip you. You'll only go so far till He smacks you down. Just like I would my kids, just like you would your kid, you discipline your kid. If a person can just live any old way and it don't ever bother them, they don't ever feel guilty, they don't ever have no shame, they're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, boy, when you do wrong, something inside you says, no, 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 this ain't right, this ain't right. It'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you crazy. Every time you sin, something in there says, uh-uh, you know this is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit inside you. And I kept telling him, And I told him, he'd call me, Danny, I love it. He'd read 30 chapters in his Bible, pray, come to the altar and just bawl his eyes out. Sincere, you say, oh, he wasn't sincere. He was. And he'd go back, and once that substance gets a hold of you right, just right, you're going to fight with it for maybe the rest of your life. I'm telling you. That's why we all tell these kids, don't drink, don't do no kind of drugs. When that stuff gets a hold of you just right, it takes a miracle of God to get that stuff off of you. Sure enough, I preached in Florida, and when I come home, I hit my answering machine, and his mother was on there screaming, Danny, Danny. And he took too many pills and left this world like that. Young man, 40, 42. You know what happened? That backsliding, you just keep on and on and on and on and on to eventually something bad's going to happen. Eventually. Something bad's going to happen. And it's going to happen to you eventually. You may get by for a long time, but eventually, bam! It's like you're speeding in a car. You ever? Are you like me? You know, I go a couple of years and don't get a speeding ticket or something. And you get a little bit braver and a little bit braver and a little bit braver. I'm back. And first thing you know, man, I ain't had no ticket in a long time. And you get a little bit faster and a little bit. Oh, boy. About the time you start thinking you're all got it all figured out, there's that lie behind you. And you get sick. You're caught. You pay the fine. Court cost. Insurance goes up. Points on your license. That's the way it is about sin. You keep sinning, and you keep sinning, and you keep sinning. And one of these days, it's like that. It's like a rattlesnake, man. It'll bite you. That's what happens to the backslider. The backslider, all of a sudden, gets in trouble. I'm going to tell you this little story, and I'm through. One of the greatest hymns in your hymn book, I don't know if it's in this one, but it's in all the Baptist hymnals. It's called "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." It's high church music. It's like stuff they'd write in heaven. And a fellow by the name of Robert Robinson wrote that song. And it says, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Dun, dun, dun. You know that song. And he says, "Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it to thy courts above." One of the greatest songs ever been written, as far as I'm concerned. That's back when they wrote songs that meant something. And then that one verse says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it." And he said, "I can feel my heart pulling." Well, the man that wrote that song, Robert Robinson, his heart did pull him away. And he got out of the will of God. And got out in sin, lived awful. He lived a wicked life for a while. And he was traveling. He started doing a lot of traveling, just probably trying to run from his conscience. And he met this girl, and he's talking to a young lady, and she said, "I've been studying. I wonder if you can help me." And he said, "Sure." And she pulled out, she said, This song here has intrigued me. And it was his song. And she said, "What do you think this means right here?" And he said, he started bawling his eyes out. He just broke down, started bawling. "Lord, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry." And she said, that verse, one of those verses says, "Streams of mercy." And he said, "I wrote that song." And that old boy bowed his head and bawled his eyes out and asked God to forgive him. And he got back right and he served the Lord the rest of his life. His own song. You know, there's something about when you get backslid and everything, you run into stuff at the most unexpected moment. Bam! And that's the Lord hitting you in the face, saying, "Time to get right." I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know where you're from. There's a lot of people in here today. But if you're a backslider, the Bible says return to the Lord and He'll heal your backsliding. If you'll come and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm going to get back with the Word. I'm going to get back to church. I'm going to get back in there." The Lord will forgive you and restore you and put you where you need to be. That's the cure for backsliding. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eyes closed.